Good evening.
Good evening.
Daryl says it's my turn, so we'll take that turn and see what we can do with it. I always try to put a little different spin on things when I bring a sermon here because it's an evening worship service, and it's a different crowd than what we have in the morning. So I try to bring you something that you can put to use in your everyday lives, maybe help you to become better Christians or help those around you to become better Christians or even a Christian, as well as being stronger in your own life. I'm going to talk tonight. I was thinking the other day, my daughter was in for a biopsy on Friday for breast cancer, and they took a lump out. We won't know the results for 3 or 4 days, but I was thinking, not only do we have a physical cancer that we deal with in our lives, but we also have a spiritual cancer. And I want to talk about a couple of those this evening, as ones I think maybe we have the hardest time in our everyday life dealing with. First of all, I want to put a definition of cancer on the table so we kind of understand what cancer actually is, and this comes out of the dictionary. It's been defined as a malignant tumor characterized by potentially unlimited growth with local expansion by invasion and systemic by metastasis, an abnormal state marked by such tumors, an enlarged tumor-like growth, disease marked by such growth. And the last one, it defines cancer as a source of evil. I don't know if you've ever heard it said. I have. Someone in the workplace or someone around the office or, you know, some acquaintance or something, and somebody says you're a cancer to this business. Okay, that's a source of evil. It's a cancer. It doesn't necessarily have to be a tumor that we deal with. It can be different things. There's a lot of different types of cancer. There's skin cancer, liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, stomach cancer, throat cancer, lip cancer. It goes on and on and on. They all are different types. And the sad thing about it is some of them, caught early enough, are treatable. And you can conquer it. Many of them are not conquerable at all, and especially if you let them go too long. I want to talk about skin cancer for a minute because that's something I've dealt with in my own life. Several of you have, I would imagine, or have known people that have. Yeah, Dave's laughing. He had a big thing up here not too long ago. But skin cancer is something we see. Those cancers that are inside our body, we never see them. We may feel a lump, but we don't actually see it. So I wanted to relate this to a skin cancer because it starts off as just a little small thing. And if you've been like I am, I got a little piece of skin cancer, no big deal. But as you go on, it gets a little bigger and it gets a little bigger, and pretty soon you can't brush the skin that's left over the sore, and pretty soon it becomes a sore that's visible. And then it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, a lot of skin cancers are not necessarily death-threatening, but melanoma is. And if you let it go long enough, it will go down through the skin and it will get into the bloodstream, and melanoma can cause death if not treated and if not caught soon enough. So as I look at a spiritual cancer, is a lot like a skin cancer. It's something that we can see. It's something we can put our hands on. And most generally, it's something that starts out as just a real little thing, and it's no big deal. But as we go on and as it gets a hold of us, it begins to grow. And as it grows, it becomes infectious to us. It becomes a huge sore to us. And if we let it go long enough, it becomes so habitual and so devastating that it's very hard sometimes to get rid of it. That being the case, causing spiritual death. So as we look at these two things that I've got here tonight, we look at a spiritual cancer. There's different types of spiritual cancers, just as there are different types of physical cancers. Some that I've got listed out, you may have others. You may be dealing with something in your life that I don't have here. That's okay. What I've got listed, I've got lying, I've got false teaching, I've got a lack of brotherly love, We've got greed, gossip, anger, a lack of study, a lack of attendance, not caring about others, a me thing. As far as a worldly, I don't care about anybody else. It's all about me. But these are just some of the things that I had listed. These are some of the things that can grow in our lives to where they would become a sore and a contention between us and God. Now, the difference between physical cancers and spiritual cancers are some physical cancers can't be cured. Some physical cancers, there's nothing to do with them. Fortunately, with a spiritual cancer, don't care what period of life you're in, what period or stage it's in, it's curable. Amen. All we have to do is go back to God's Word, go back to what God says, and use His grace and use His forgiveness, and you can eliminate it out of your life. That's the nice thing with a spiritual cancer. You can deal with it, you can cure it, and you can get rid of it. Where a lot of times with a physical cancer, I shouldn't say a lot of times, sometimes, you can't get that done. I gotta get this coat off, man. It's hot in here. Okay, so tonight, we're gonna take kind of a quick look. I told Peg coming out here, I said, I don't really have any idea how long this sermon's gonna run or last. If it lasts 15 minutes, that's fine. If it lasts 30 minutes, that's okay too. The two that I want to get into tonight is gossip and anger. And I think these are two things. I know I deal with it. And I think Garrett said last Sunday night, if I'm dealing with it, I'm figuring there's other people who got the same problem. Amen. So those are the things that I want to talk about tonight. As we look at gossip, it's very much like that sore that appears on your skin. It starts off small. And you don't think anything about it. And then as we get involved with it, it becomes part of us. It almost becomes a point to where I have to know what's going on. I have to know what so-and-so said about so-and-so. And it becomes a disease to us in our spiritual life. Definition of gossip: a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts, rumor or report of intimate nature. And the one I think we should look at is chatty talk, because that's kind of what we refer to gossip when we're talking about gossip within God's kingdom. It's chatty talk. It's stuff that a lot of times will tear someone else down. You all heard the story, and it's been told over and over and over. If I start a thing here with Peggy and go back and forth, by the time it gets back to the back of the room, it's a completely different story than what I told Peg. And that's what happens with gossip. We can start it, we can hear it, and as it spreads, it just gets worse and worse and worse because somebody's got to add something to it, and pretty soon it's completely out of what it was supposed to be, and there's no truth to it. So we're going to look at some verses tonight of what God says about gossip and how He says to deal with it and get rid of it. So we'll start. I always like Proverbs when I'm talking about anger and when I'm talking about gossip, because there's a lot of information in Proverbs. There's a lot of sayings in Proverbs, and there's especially with anger, dealing with the tongue and some of the things that we deal with anger. But we'll start with Proverbs 10, verses 18 through 21. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgressions are not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the mind of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Back to verse 18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. You hate someone, you got lying lips, and he who utters the slander is a fool. So many times, I take this verse literally, and as many times as I read this, it appears to me that God's saying, okay, If you're going to utter slander, you've probably got some hatred in you, and you're going to tear somebody down. And to do that is foolish. Now, as we've studied the Bible, and I'm going to lay some of this into you guys because I know you've all studied this, how serious it is in God's Word to be called a fool. It's a very, very, very serious word in God's Word. So when you see this in Scripture that someone is doing something and God says that is a fool or that is foolish, take it seriously. Now, a quick relation back to what I started with physical cancer. We know how serious physical cancer is. We know how devastating it can be to friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and everything else. Take that same seriousness into this, because that's how devastating this can be to your spiritual well-being. Okay? So, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who utters slander is a fool. Let's go over to Proverbs 11, verses 12 and 13. He who belittles his neighbor lacks sense. What does it mean to belittle? Simply put, to me, it means to put down. It means to talk about. It means to tear their own well-being down. Maybe bring them down to your level. We're going to belittle someone. That's where I was. 11, 12, 13. He who belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. So you don't have to say something just because you know something. A man of understanding just stays silent rather than to say something that's going to hurt somebody or something that's going to tear somebody down or something that is considered a secret and shouldn't be spread. That man that doesn't do that has an understanding. Then he goes on in verse 13 and it says, he who goes about as a talebearer, as a gossiper, a slanderer, to them, they reveal secrets. And then he comes back the other side. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing hidden. So we have situations in our life, you know, I've been doing some emails two or three weeks ago on serving two masters. We're going to serve love or we're going to serve hate? Are we going to serve faith or are we going to serve worry? Here, I think we could put the same thing together. Are we going to serve sensibility or are we going to serve foolishness? You can't serve them both. It can't be done. I feel like probably all of us somewhere along the line have been involved in some type of gossip. It happens. And you can't sometimes stay out of it. Even though you try to turn a deaf ear, you get caught off guard sometimes. And sometimes you'll say something on and think, shouldn't have done that. Because now all of a sudden you got yourself in trouble. It's really easy to get involved with this. Just like skin cancer. You don't think anything about standing out in the sun forever when you're young and getting suntans and sunburns and all this other stuff. All of a sudden, you got a little sore. We don't sometimes think anything about gossip or slander or this type of thing in our life until all of a sudden it has a hold of us. And then because of our human nature and because we want to know more and more and more, sometimes it's hard to get rid of. You get tied up in a circle in there that you can't get out of. Okay, Proverbs 20. Verse 19. My eyes are having a hard time focusing tonight, so bear with me. He who goes about gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, those of you that are there, do not associate with one who speaks foolishly. People, in these verses that we've read, slander and gossip is forbidden. It's absolutely forbidden. And this verse says, don't even associate with somebody in that realm. And we just talked about it. Why is that? Because it's gonna get you entailed in the same thing, and they're going to bring you into their level, and that level is going to create a problem between you and God. That's why. Reread that one more time. He who goes about gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, and it doesn't say just kinda, it says do not associate with one who speaks foolishly. To me, that's a command. You've got to get away from them. So instead of saying, what'd you say? You know, so-and-so did something. You heard about so-and-so, they went over there. You got to stop that. The word says, don't even associate with someone who's trying to spread that stuff. That's hard to do. How do you say to a real good friend of yours, hey, you're out of my life, man. I can't deal with this anymore. It's hard to do. But that's what God's word says that we're supposed to. Okay, Ephesians. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. Bruce teaches a lot about Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians, we're going to look at 30, 31, and 32 in chapter 4. This says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let's just take that for a second. There isn't any more verses behind this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. End of story. Okay, now Paul goes on to the church in Ephesus to explain to them things that you do that will grieve the Holy Spirit. And in that, he says, in whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. When we're baptized, the Holy Spirit enters our body. Okay? Now, Paul starts explaining what he's talking about here. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So we're talking about gossip right now. So back up. He says now, let all bitterness. What does it mean to be bitter? It means I got a bad heart towards something or somebody. I'm bitter. I don't like that. But he says get rid of that. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. And then what's that other word? Slander. Gossip. Tearing something down. He said, put all that away from you. And he prefaced that with, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So if you want to combine it, if you're involved with gossip, I should say we, if we are involved with gossip, if we are involved with slanderous talk, if we were involved with foolish things, then Paul's saying you've got to get rid of it because it grieves the Holy Spirit. That's how serious it is. When you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you're grieving God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do not do it. You've got to get rid of it. And this is, I really like these verses. Ephesians is full of good stuff. But these verses, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. You just got to get rid of it. Now, think how nice life would be if you weren't bitter towards anything or anybody. You weren't having any difficulties. You were kind to one another, and you were tenderhearted, and you were forgiving, and all these things. How nice life would be. Think about it. You know, it's like dealing with stress. I've learned how to deal with it. I just don't deal. It's gone. God, you take care of this. I can't handle it. And I've gotten to that point where I can do that, thankfully, because it creates health issues. In me. Now, skin cancer has created a health issue in me. Gossip and slanderous talk at times has created a problem in my life. I'm getting smarter with it. I'm getting better with it. But there's still that day when I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear that ugly stuff. I guess it's my human nature. But I'm learning where I have to turn a deaf ear to it. I'm asked things. I have to say I don't know, or I'm just not going there. I can't deal with that. But it's difficult sometimes. And I understand that. And God understands that. That's why there's forgiveness built into God's plan. That's why His grace is built into this plan. He knows we're not perfect. He knows that we can't handle everything that we have given to us on a daily basis. But He also knows if we study and we stay strong and we do the things that we're supposed to, we will get better at dealing with these things. And one of these things is the gossip that we're talking about. Let's look at Titus. I like Timothy and Titus. They were two young men that Paul had set in Ephesus and Crete to establish, not to establish church, but to further the growth of the church, to establish elders in the church. And they had a lot of direction in these two books of young things and things to ministers. Well, I consider all of us ministers, because when we walk out the front door of the house in the morning, when we walk out the door here, whatever we're doing, we are ministering to somebody because they're watching us as we teach them. That makes us a minister. Whether you like that or not, that's the way it is. So when you look in the Bible and we start talking about ministry, it's not just Bruce standing up here. It's all of us that are sitting in here that this word is speaking to, because we are all ministers of God's word. So as we look at Titus 3 in verses 1 and 2, Paul's telling Titus, he said, okay, and this is advice to a minister, a preacher here, but put it in your own life. He's telling Titus, he says, now you remind them to what? Be submissive to rulers and authorities. Well, that's tough. I don't like what the government's doing. I don't like what the president's doing. I don't like this and this and this and this. Okay, if you go back and study 2 Peter or 1 and 2 Peter, Peter will tell you to be acceptable to authority if and or when it gets in the way of your Christianity, then you have to stand up against it. So here he's saying, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for any honest work. Now, there's a big word, honest work. I don't know why Paul would designate that out right there, but he has a purpose, and it's honest work. And then he goes on, he says, speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all men. Whoa. There's a little bit of difficult advice, and Paul kind of put the hammer down, didn't he? When he's talking about us as ministers. Speak evil of no one. Well, that does away with gossip, doesn't it? Does away with slanderous talk. It does away with what we were talking about as far as talking about your neighbor back in Proverbs. Does away with all that. Paul says, tell them, don't speak evil of anyone. Tell them to avoid quarreling. Don't even get in an argument. It isn't worth it. I've gotten to where I look at something, I said, in the grand scheme of things, is that going to cost me my salvation? If it doesn't, let it go. If it does, then I've got to stand up for what's right. So avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy to all men. But I don't like him. I can't be courteous to him. I'm not talking to him. That's not the direction that Paul gave Titus to talk to the ministers about this. He said, be courteous to all men. Be gentle. Don't quarrel. Pretty good instruction. Last one I want to look at is Matthew. And here's some pretty serious advice about gossip. Think about what Matthew has to say here. We're going to start with verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now that tells me there's no in between. You're either going to have a good tree or you're going to have a bad tree. You're going to have good fruit, you're going to have bad fruit. Convert that into people. You're either going to have a good person or a bad person. You're either going to produce good fruit with that person or you're going to produce bad fruit with that person. Okay. Then he goes on and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Simply put, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If you've got evil things in your heart, if you've got slanderous things in your heart, then evil things are going to come off the end of your tongue. That's what Matthew's saying here. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Back to good or bad. Can't have it both ways. Can't serve two masters. Sorry about that. And then in the next verses, he goes, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's pretty tough. That's how serious this thing about gossip is. It's a cancer that will eat you away in your spiritual life. It will decimate you. Now, we're going to swing over and talk about anger. I kind of think, as I'm bringing this lesson to you tonight, I never had this thought when I was putting it together, but I kind of think maybe these two run hand in hand. Because I really am having a hard time why I would slander someone or why I would gossip about someone. If I've got a little bit of anger in me, that's what causes that, I think. Maybe not, but I think most times that's what's going to happen. Now we look at the definition of anger. They're synonyms for anger, first of all. They're ire, rage, fury, indignation, wrath. Those are just some of the synonyms of anger. Anger is a general term for the emotional reaction of extreme displeasure and suggests neither a definite degree of intensity nor a necessarily outward manifestation. That's the broad definition of anger. Now you want to bring it in a little bit closer. Rage is the loss of self-control from violence of emotion. You let things get to you. Your emotions took over. You lost self-control and you went into a rage. Now we all understand that. We know what a rage is. Okay? Wrath may imply either rage or indignation, but suggests strongly a desire or intent to avenge or punish. We hear about the wrath of God. God says, revenge is mine. It's not yours. So don't go there. Real simply put. Oh, but he got me. I'm not going to be done till I get them. I'm going to revenge that. I'm going to take care of that. The Bible says don't do it that way. Turn the other cheek. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. There's all kinds of instruction how to get away from this anger. We're going to look at some verses here. First of all, I want to read a song that we sing. And I sometimes wonder, that's not it. Angry words. Somebody would look that up for me. 629. Okay. We sing this song, and I sing it right along with you. And I wonder sometimes, how much attention did I pay to this? Because these words might be better than anything I've got written out here. And it starts off and it says, angry words, and it's got an exclamation mark behind it. Well, let them never from my tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. That's what we've been talking about, huh? Love is much too pure and holy. Really? If that's true, then why do we gossip and why do we get angry at someone? Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred for a moment's reckless folly. thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes they come out pretty harsh. Lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Then the chorus says, love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another. Faith, hope, and love. Love being the greatest of all. Right? So how can we be angry towards one another? How can we gossip towards one another if we have God's love? If you've been in Bruce's class on Sunday morning, if you're not, you should be, in the study of 1 John, we're looking at brotherly love. If you don't have the love for your brother, you can't have the love for Christ. If you don't have the love for your brother, then you're going to get involved in being angry towards them and you're going to get involved with gossip. But if you have the proper love that's talked about in 1 John, if you have the proper love that was talked about in that song, you're not going to get involved with the gossip. You're not going to get involved with the anger that comes about. And as you learn to deal with it with your brothers and sisters, you will be stronger and more able to deal with it in the workplace or in a family situation. What tears a workplace apart faster than anything? It's gossip. Office gossip is horrible. In sales, my salesman, I used to tell him, don't go out there in the parking lot and have a parking lot meeting. If you have a meeting, let's have it right here. I want to hear what you got to say. If you're going out there, you're done. If I catch you gossiping out in the parking lot, you're done. And I was serious. I didn't care. I'll retrain somebody else. I'm not going to have that kind of cancer in my office, tearing my office and my sales crew apart. It's not going to happen. And we have to feel that same way in a congregation. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to have it. And it's not going to get in here, and it's not going to tear a congregation apart, because that's what does it. Gossip does it. Anger does it. Okay? We're getting close on time. We're going to run through some scriptures and take a look at anger pretty quickly. We'll start with Genesis 49, 5, 6, and 7. That reads, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. O my soul, come not into their counsel. O my spirit, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they slay men, and in their wantonness they hamstring oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. That's God speaking. Cursed be their anger. It's forbidden. Psalms. Psalms 37 and verse 8. This is what the psalmist had to say. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Well, we're right back to that word evil, aren't we? And we're right back to a command. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Strong words. Put them to use in your life when you have a period of time that anger might be ready to take over. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Now we're back to the word foolish. Your page is still turning, so I'll wait a second. Proverbs 14, verse 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, but a man of discretion is patient. We've all lost our temper. We all know what it means to lose your temper. You lose self-control. You lose the end of your tongue and words come out of there you don't even want to say. Sometimes there's words that come off the end of there that you don't even know are in your head. I've been there. But it says here, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. We have to learn. It's not necessarily bad to get mad. It's bad to lose your temper to a point that it makes you look foolish. It's bad to the point that it makes us say things that 5 minutes later you wish, man, if I could just grab a hold of that and bring it back, I'd be happy. But it can't be done. Once that word rolls off, it's out there. Just like the internet. Once you put a picture on Facebook, it's out there. You can't get it back. So think about that when you start to get angry. Again, whether it be involved with church, whether it's family, whether it's workplace, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. Proverbs 22. 24 and 25. Now we're back to what he tells us about slander and about gossip. It says, make no friendship with a man given to temper. I'm sorry, guy, I can't be around you. You get mad too easy. You lose yourself in your temper. I just can't be around you. Just go away. Hard to do. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. Make no friendship with a man given to temper, nor go with a wrathful man. Now, why do you think that instruction's here? It's because it's going to rub off on you if you let it, if you get involved with it. You know, there was an old saying, at one time I had a little bit of a drinking problem and I quit drinking. But I didn't necessarily quit going to the bar because I thought that's where my friends were. And I had a guy tell me one time, it made a lot of sense to me, still makes sense today. He said, if you go to the barber shop often enough, pretty soon you're going to end up with a haircut. Kind of a funny little saying, but there's a lot of truth to it. His point was, you keep going back enough, you're going to get back involved. Get away from it. Same thing that Proverbs is telling us here. Make no friendship with a man given to temper, and don't even go with a wrathful man. Because what's going to happen to you? You're going to get tied into the same thing. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. Now, here's some more instruction to us. Be not quick to anger. Why? For anger lodges in the bosoms of the fools. Now back to this word fool again. A harsh word. A word that is decimated in God's word. I can't explain what it means when God calls someone a fool or he says something is foolish. It's that devastating to a person. So he says, be not quick to anger, because if you are, that anger is going to lodge inside you and you're going to be foolish. Just don't do it. If we have an anger problem, we're going to have to work on it. We're going to have to get rid of it because it's not godly. It's not prudent. It's foolish. Okay, one last verse, Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Now, this is similar to what we looked at in Ephesians a little bit ago. And this is Paul talking to the church in Colossae. You guys were in my class. We went over this in depth. So verse 5 starts. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Take that statement by itself for just a second. Put to death that which is earthly that's inside you. And then he goes on and he lists the things that are earthly. And he lists them out. It's immorality. It's impurity. It's passion. It's evil desires, it's covetousness, it's idolatry. And on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you once walked when you lived in them. Okay, he's talking to Christians that have been converted from either Judaism or from just outside the world of Christianity. He says, but now you put them all away. Again, he's going to make a list. What's this list? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Before, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now he's saying you got to put all these away also. There's two words that we looked at tonight that are listed right there. One of them's anger and one of them's slander. And then he goes on and he says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature which with its practices and have put on the new nature which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is in all and is all. You can't have it both ways. The instruction is pretty simple. It says to get it out of your life. Here what you have to do. For physical cancers, we go to a doctor. He tells us whether he can get rid of it or not. With skin cancer, most of it's operable. Most of it is taken care of. Unless, like I said before, it's melanoma. Then it can create a big problem. But we go to a doctor to figure it out. We don't do it on our own. When we have a spiritual illness, a spiritual cancer in our life, why can't we go to the doctor and find instruction on how to take care of it instead of trying to deal with it ourselves? It doesn't make any sense to me. Things that I've dealt with in my life as far as stress and some of the other things, you have to go to the doctor to find out how to get rid of it. My physical doctor can't tell me how to get rid of stress. All he can tell me is you got to get it out of your life. My spiritual doctor can tell me how to do that. That's the lesson tonight. I'm a little bit over time. I apologize for that. If you have a spiritual cancer in your life, if you need the help of the doctor, if you need the help of this congregation, trust me, I know prayers in this congregation work. I've seen it. Ask for prayers. Ask for help. There's nothing wrong with that. I think everybody here is a baptized Christian. If you aren't, and you would like to enter into that baptism, go down into the watery grave, touch the blood of Christ, come out anew. If you would like to have that done this evening, now would be the time to do that as we stand and sing.